Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles with the message today, I'm going to be preaching from 1 John, the letter of 1 John, 1st Epistle of John, the Apostle John, chapter 4. My main text is going to be verse 17, 1 John 4, 17. And the title of the message is Love Made Perfect. Love Made Perfect. 1 John 4 and verse 17, it reads, Herein is our love, or love with us, is made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, as Christ is, so are we in the world. Now, what that's speaking of is not our love for God, but God's love for us, for His people. And we need to understand that when we talk about the grace of love, it's a grace and a gift that is only given to God's people in Christ, and it's for those, it's evidenced by those who believe the gospel. Back up in verse 15 of this chapter, it says in verse 1 John 4:15, Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Now this confession is not just words on a paper. It's not just repeating scriptures or repeating what they call the sinner's prayer. This confession is not just saying, oh, I know I've sinned. This confession is a true heart confession of the truth of God's Word concerning who God is in His holiness, His justice, His righteousness, His truth, who we are in our sinfulness and depravity and spiritual deadness, who Jesus Christ is in the glory of His person, who is God manifest in the flesh, and in the power and success of His finished work, dying on the cross to ensure the salvation of His people, and a confession of how God saved sinners by His grace, all conditioned on Christ, who fulfilled those conditions and brought forth a perfect righteousness whereby God could be just to forgive my sins and to accept me into His fellowship. Accept me into His fellowship and to receive me unto Himself. You see, in order to be accepted with God, we need a perfect righteousness that we cannot work and cannot achieve. The Bible says in Romans 3 and verse 10, there's none righteous, no, not one. And by deeds of law shall no flesh be justified or made righteous in God's sight. Man by nature has no righteousness, and by his works he can work no righteousness. We are totally dependent upon the grace of God that reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible speaks of that. The Jews who were trying to make themselves righteous by the works of the law and they didn't achieve it. And when Christ came along and taught the truth of how righteousness is attained through Him, His person and His work, they stumbled over that. They didn't believe it. It was like a trick. It was like something in their way. On their way to trying to work their own righteousness, they would trip over that and they rejected Him. They rejected the stone, the scripture says. And Paul wrote in Romans 10, he said, I bear them record they have a zeal of God. They're religious, but not according to knowledge. They're ignorant of God's righteousness. They're ignorant of what God requires. And he said they're going about to establish their own righteousness. And they're ignorant of the righteousness of God. And what is the righteousness of God that saves sinners? That justifies sinners? Romans 10:4 tells us, For Christ is the end, the fulfillment, the perfection the finishing of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. And that gift of faith is the fruit of Christ's righteousness imputed, charged, accounted to us. So that we say that man with the heart, the mind, the affections, the will, man believes unto righteousness. In other words, we look to Christ for righteousness. We look to Christ for forgiveness. We look to Christ. Christ is our wisdom, our sanctification, our righteousness, and our redemption. We look to Him as the author and finisher of our faith. And that's what the confession is. It's the gospel, wherein the righteousness of God is revealed. And he says in verse 16, now this is 1 John 4, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Now you see, there's the context now. We're talking about the love that God has to us. What is the love that God has to us? Over in verse 10 of this chapter, it says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now think about this. What is a propitiation? The propitiation that He's speaking of for our sins is satisfaction to God's justice through a God-sent, God-appointed, able, willing substitute and sacrifice who is none other than Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. That propitiation, it means satisfaction. It's related to the Old Testament mercy seat where the high priest would come in one time a year in the holiest of all and sprinkle the blood. All of that typified the satisfaction to God's justice against the sins of His elect based upon the blood of the Lamb, the blood of sacrifice, the blood of Jesus Christ. That was a type. And so the love of God is shown in sending His Son to be the propitiation, the sin-bearing sacrifice who brought satisfaction for His people. Now, what does that tell you? Well, it tells you this. Everyone whom God loves will be saved. You say, well, does that mean everybody without exception? No, it doesn't. Are there people whom God hates? The Bible says there are. He hates all workers of iniquity. He hated Esau. You say, well, that's not fair. That's not good. Listen to me. God's hatred is not like our hatred. Our hatred is sinful. But God's hatred is holy. It's His justice against sins. It's His justice against sinners to whom sin is imputed. If I have sin charged to my account before God, then all I have to expect is His hatred, His justice, His wrath, you see, because that's what I deserve. So the only hope for my salvation is for God to find a way that He can justly and righteously and truthfully and really not charge me with my sins, not impute my sins to me. Well, has He found a way? Oh, yes, He has. And that's the gospel message. It's through Christ as the sin-bearing sacrifice, my surety, my substitute, my redeemer, dying in my place, satisfying the justice of God and bringing forth an everlasting righteousness whereby God can be just to justify the ungodly. You see that? And that's what that propitiation is about. He says, herein is love. Not that we love God. The love of God is not based upon our loving Him. No sinner by nature loves God. Not the true and living God now. Now, you may love your idea of God, your conception of God, your imagination. You have thoughts in your mind about who God is. And let me tell you something. Unless they're based upon biblical revelation here, it's a lie. It's a God of your own imagination, probably one likened to yourself. And you love that God, but that God's an idol. The God who reveals Himself as a just God and a Savior who hates and loves, who is a God of election, a God of predestination, who is a God who is in control, sovereign, but who is merciful and gracious and loving in Christ, and in Christ alone, not outside of Christ. Is that the God you love? That's the God of the Bible. So herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. How do I know if God loves me or hates me? Think about it that way. Well, it says here, He sent His Son into the world that we might live through Him. And it says He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Did Christ die for me? Did He put away my sins? Is His righteousness imputed to me? Well, go back up to verse 15 of 1 John 4. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. He's in fellowship with God. God dwells in him by the Spirit and by His Word. Have you confessed that Jesus is the Son of God? Now that's not just making a statement. Oh, I know He's the Son of God. Do you know what that means? Well, it goes on. Verse 16. Now look at 1 John 4 and verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. So he keeps on with that. And then he comes to verse 17. And this is important. Now listen to this. He says, herein is our love made perfect. Now, literally, that would read, herein is love with us made perfect. Now, let me say this at the outset. If you're a true believer, a child of God, born again by the Spirit, you do love God. But you don't love Him perfectly. You still have rivals in your life. It's called a warfare of the flesh and the spirit. And we have to fight that battle. The flesh is sin. Sin, evil thoughts, evil desires, evil goals, sinful thoughts. That's the flesh. And the Holy Spirit within us works with our spirit, the life that He's given us, to go to battle. We have a battle. I call it the Christian struggle, the warfare. And it's an everyday warfare. And we can say we love God as we look to Christ and believe in Him and rest in Him for our whole salvation. But we don't love God perfectly. But He says in verse 17, herein is our love made perfect. Now, the word perfect does not necessarily have to mean sinless perfection. And the idea here is this. Whatever love He's talking about, this love has reached its goal, has fulfilled its purpose. That's what the perfection means here. And herein is our love made perfect. And I believe He's talking about God's love for us reaching its goal, bringing it to its fruition. And here's what He says. Look at verse 17. That we may have boldness, confidence, liberty in the day of judgment. In the day of judgment. Thinking about standing before God at the judgment. You know, there's all kinds of myth and fantasy revolving around the judgment. When I go to stand before God at the judgment, you know, some people believe that when we go before God at the judgment, that He's going to weigh our good works with our bad works. And if our good works outweigh the bad works, then we're going to heaven. If our bad works outweigh the good works, we're going to hell. That's not what the Bible teaches. Some people believe, well, when we get to judgment, God's going to put up a movie screen and a projector, and He's going to go back over our lives, and every sin that we've committed, every bad word that we say is going to be flashed up there on the screen. That's nothing. That's nothing but scare tactics of religiously lost people trying to get a confession or a profession or get them in the baptistry. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches basically this. When you appear before God at the judgment, you're either on your own, by your works, on your own, which means eternal damnation, because no sinner standing on their own, pleading their works or what they think God helped them to do, That'll get them in the head. Won't do it. Or you are found before God in Christ. having your sins washed away, no record in God's law books of your sins, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies, righteous in Christ, pleading the righteousness of Christ, not pleading your own merits, not pleading your own works, but pleading the righteousness of Christ. Paul spoke of it this way in Philippians 3. He said, that I may know Him and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of, the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. In other words, when I stand before God in judgment, what am I going to plead as my right to enter into glory? Am I going to plead what God enabled me to do? No. Am I going to plead what I've done or tried to do? No. I'm pleading Christ crucified and risen from the dead. I'm pleading His blood, His righteousness alone. And that's proven right here. Look at 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect. Herein is God's love reaches its goal in a believer, that we may have boldness, confidence in the day of judgment, because as He is, as Christ is, so are we in this world right now, a believer. Now, if you were just look at me and watch me throughout a given day or week, would you say that I am exactly as Christ is? Christ, who is the Son of God incarnate, God manifest in the flesh, Christ who loved perfectly, who obeyed the law perfectly, never sinned, never had a thought of sin. Christ who walked this earth as love incarnate. Would you say that I am as He is? I hope you would not, because I certainly would not. I know that I fall short. Listen, I'm saved by grace. I have a righteousness that answers the demands of God's law and justice. My sins have been washed away, but I'm still a sinner on this earth, in this world. A sinner saved by grace. I've said it so many times. There's only two types of people in this world. You're either a sinner lost in your sins, in which you may be religious, you may be a church member, you may be a preacher, but if you don't know Christ, you're still a sinner lost in your sins. Or you're a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. So just looking at me or looking at each other, we wouldn't say that as He is, so are we in this world. But think about it. He's talking about boldness in the day of judgment. Now, in the day of judgment, when you stand before God, what are you going to plead? As again, as your right and title to enter glory. Well, my friend, if it's anything but the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're doomed forever. But believers will plead Christ. And in that sense, as He is, as Christ is, so are we in this world. What's He talking about? He's talking about how we stand before God in Christ. And the love of God shown towards His people brings them through the new birth, through faith in Christ and repentance of dead works, brings them to see that their only hope of salvation, their only hope of preservation, and their only hope at judgment, and their only hope in glory is the righteousness of Christ, the perfect righteousness of Christ imputed, charged to their account. And that's something you can't see. You can't see that with the physical eye, but God sees it because He's the one who justified His people. He imputed, charged, accounted that righteousness to me. He imputed my sins to Christ, and Christ put them away, washed me clean in the blood of Christ, and He imputed Christ's righteousness to me, Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who can condemn us? So in that sense, I can say boldly and with confidence now and at judgment, as Christ is, so am I. I'm sinlessly perfect, not in myself, but in the sense that my sins have been taken away. My sins have been purged away. The debt of my sins that I owed to God's law and justice was put upon Christ, and He washed them. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus can. This is all my hope and peace. This is all my righteousness. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. So that's the boldness that He's talking about here, when He says that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And why is that? Because the love of God has reached its goal in the life of His people when He sends the Spirit through Christ to, in the new birth, to convince them of sin because they believe not on Christ. In other words, without Christ, we're nothing but sin. To convince them of righteousness because Christ went unto the Father. In other words, the only righteousness that we can have and find is the imputed righteousness of Christ, which He died and for which He died and was buried and arose again the third day and ascended unto the Father, and convinced of judgment because the prince of this world is cast out. Satan, who brought in sin into the world, been cast out, and believers have already been judged for all their sins when Christ died. Our sins were taken away. Did you hear what Jesus said to me? They're all taken away. Your sins are pardoned and you are free. They're all taken away. And look at verse 18 of 1 John 4. He says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now, what kind of fear is he talking about? There's no fear in love. You know, in the Bible, you have to look at the context to understand these terms. But there's a good fear, and then there's a sinful fear. That sinful fear is legalism. It's the fear of punishment, or it's the fear of loss of reward. In other words, if I don't do enough, I'm not going to have enough, or I'm not going to gain enough in heaven, or I have to live in a cabin instead of a mansion. That's legal fear, or legal fear of punishment. If I don't do this, God will strike me down, or God will do this, or God will send me down. That's legal fear. That's unbelief. But there is also a good fear, and that good fear is the reverence of God. We reverence Him. We fear the Lord. The Bible says in Romans 3:18 that unbelievers, there's no fear of God before their eyes. Well, they fear punishment. They fear loss of reward. But they don't respect and regard the God of glory, the God of grace, the God who saves sinners based upon the righteousness of Christ. Over in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, listen to this. It says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, the children are God's people, God's elect, Christ also himself likewise took part of the same, flesh and blood, without sin, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now, the devil doesn't have the power to kill anybody or to make anybody alive. The power of death that the devil had was the power of accusation. The accusation of sin, which brings death. Well, Christ removed that. Satan cannot accuse the brethren anymore before God, because Christ died. And it says in verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. There's a fear of death that brings people into bondage. It's a fear of death that makes people religious and moral, trying to work their way to salvation. And that's a bad fear. That's a sinful fear. Well, over here in 1 John 4:18, that's the fear he's talking about in the first line here. There is no fear in love. When we realize that God loves us through Christ and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to wash away our sins and to make us righteous before Him, so that we might have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. That legal fear is removed. That sinful fear. And he says, but perfect love casteth out fear. That love that has reached its goal in a sinner who believes in Christ, repented of dead works, and who's like Paul, that I may be found in him, in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of Christ, his faithfulness to obey the law and die for my sins, the righteousness of God, which I receive by God-given faith. And he says, because fear hath torment, that legal fear, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. If you're fearing hell because you haven't done enough, or you haven't cried enough, or you haven't confessed enough, or you haven't worked enough, my friend, that shows you're not looking to Christ. You're looking to self. And that's what most people are doing today. Even those who call themselves Christian, they're not looking to Jesus as the author and finisher of the faith. They're looking to themselves. What have I done? What should I do? What do I need to do? Have I done enough? And if I haven't done enough, I better get busy. That's the way a lot of people are. Well, that means this, that feareth is not made perfect in love. In other words, you're not looking to Christ, you're looking to self. And verse 19 caps it. He says, we love him because he first loved us. God is the source of love. And the product is the sinner saved by grace who believes in Christ, pleads Christ, looks to Christ, and loves God. Not perfectly in himself, but loves him and fights the sins of the flesh, loving him, having the confidence and the boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.